Today, I've gotten two fundamental questions. One is, what's NICTA? That's the National ICT Australia. It's an Australian think tank, research lab. And the second, what's Canary? So far I've heard birds and I've heard islands. I'll tell you in a minute. So this is in the nature of an anthropological talk. Okay, so what I'm going to show you is half of what I've been able to find and half guesses. And one of the things I'd like from people that understand this domain is, are my guesses at least reasonable and plausible? And the second thing is, as I got into this, I discovered what I think are interesting problems, and I'd like to encourage you to work on those problems. So the context is that you're in an environment where you're upgrading things in the cloud, and let's assume you have 1,000 servers, or 10,000, doesn't matter. And so you want to upgrade. So the sort of classic strategies are one at a time, rolling upgrade. If you look at things like CloudFormation, they have a switch for rolling upgrade. You can do staged at a time, and that's called a canary. So the metaphor is the coal miners used to have problems with coal gas. Coal gas would build up in the mine, and it would explode. They didn't like that. So what they did was they took canaries down into the mine, and canaries are more sensitive to coal gas, and so the canaries would die, which the canaries didn't like, but the miners liked, because it told them it was time to get out or do something else. Or you can upgrade everything all at once, and it's not really feasible once you start to have thousands of servers, because you need to have two versions running. One that isn't used and the one that is used. And that's a lot of resources. And then there's the question of what happens to the old versions. Do you replace them? Do you keep them around for compatibility purposes? And so these are some of the questions. And I'm going to talk about canaries, so the second item in this group. And the context is that you have a deep service dependency. So I talked to somebody and they said their dependency chain, if you look at the stack, is 70. And so each one of these things is an independent service, is deployed independently, is owned by a service owner. And I'll talk about that a little bit more. But it's deep. And you're upgrading one service. And you have to worry when you do that about the service and the clients that are using the service. Because if I upgrade something and introduce new functionality and no one uses it, why did I do it? If I assume new functionality and it isn't there, there are problems there too. And we get into the parallel computation scenario maybe. Okay, so this is what I've been able to so I've talked to a few people from various places, and so this is kind of the middle. First of all, every service has an owner. Every service instrument, every service instance is heavily instrumented. I'll talk about that in a minute. When the canary is deployed, the service owner looks at the monitoring data and makes a decision. So think of a canary as kind of beta testing, if you will, except the users don't know they're being beta tested, and there's no written form that you have to fill out if you're a beta tester, sort of silent beta testing. And the service owner decides it's time to push the button and deploy the thing. And currently that's based on functionality only. And the research, and there's no stress testing, and the research question is, can we bring a little more rigor to this? Well, the research, that's not a question. I don't know. Can I make this more scientific so that when I push the button, I know that I have a 90% chance of nothing going wrong, or a 99% chance of nothing going wrong, and I can make a management decision as to what percentage I want to change. So that's the basic research question that I see associated with current practice with canaries. If you look at what gets monitored, and this is from a Netflix presentation, it's pretty much everything. When the client starts a message, the there is a log file created, or log entry in a log file created. When the client is done creating that message, putting it on the network, there's another log entry created. When the network starts, there's a log entry created. When the network is finished transmission, there's another entry created, and that goes around until it comes back to the client. And so you say to yourself, that's a lot of entries in the log, and the answer, yes, it is, but these days that kind of thing is relatively cheap. Persistent storage that lives on a disk, and Google just changed my email quota from 7.5 gigabytes to 15 gigabytes without even asking. I heard a talk earlier where they were the keynote speaker was talking about you need to have a new agreement when you do things to the user without asking. They didn't ask it, they didn't. So a lot of information, and it gets put into disparate log files. And so one problem is how do you correlate the log files? There's a tool called Splunk that seems to be A, expensive, and B, commonly used to do this. So you got a lot of data. And the general strategy is all versions are backward compatible. And changes to software switchable. So I started out worrying about version awareness. But it turns out if you make everything software switchable, version awareness is no problem, or is already done. So the client has to know which versions it's using. The service has to know which versions it's providing. At some point in time, send a signal saying switch to a version, the new version. Just assuming two, although these days, again, you may have five or six, but let's just keep it simple. So switch to a new version. So the time that it takes to do that is the time for the software signal to get to all the versions, relatively negligible. And you turn on the new changes both in the clients and in the service. And services. If you're using canaries, you only turn on the changes for a subset. So if you're doing one at a time, rolling upgrade, you upgrade all your servers to the new version, you don't turn anything on, you send the signal, and it all goes on. So there was some discussion in this workshop several years ago about the mixed version race condition. And if you use this strategy, it doesn't exist. There's no problem with the race condition, at least as it was identified. So, canaries are a form of testing. Does the testing community have anything to say about this? I don't know. I haven't had a chance to talk to a tester at the work. But it's certainly possible. So the issues are, how long do I test a new version? Is it based on some period of time? So some people I talked to said, it takes about an hour or so, although we heard the beta test this morning took 6 months. One example of a beta test. So somewhere between an hour and 6 months seems to be the right time period. Maybe it's load-based. Maybe I want to run it until I've processed a certain number of requests. In that case, I have to worry about how representative are those requests of a particular workload that I deal with. Maybe it's just based on results. I don't know. I don't know what criteria should be used. How are the clients of the new version chosen? I'll show you a picture in a minute. And how are the canaries deployed? So, this is a picture. And here I have version A and version B, and version A is the old version, and version B is the new version, and I happen to split them across load balancers. One strategy is to make everything geographic, so in a particular rack or a particular cluster, I will upgrade that, and whoever gets routed there gets to use the new version. Another strategy is I'm going to distribute this across load balancers, so I've seen pictures of canaries. And if you see the pictures from Amazon, they show pictures with it distributed. And you see other pictures and they show it compressed. And so that's what I mean by archaeology. Now, you look at these pictures and then talk. actually the slides at the top. And you have to kind of guess what they're talking about. Does the load balancer need to be version aware? You can make the load balancer version aware. That turns out to be pretty easy, not cost a lot of time. I was just looking at some slides yesterday from Adrian Cockcroft, who gave a talk here a couple days ago. And he said that, you know, having load balancers in the middle isn't the right strategy. You can do one of these slides. I don't know what it is yet. And when you have load variation, you're going to trigger elasticity rules. So what happens if I create a new instance? Do I create a new instance turned on or turned off? And how do I manage that? Because everything's backward compatible, if I'm a service and I get a message from a client that hasn't been turned on, I can process it. It's backward compatible. I think from a software engineering perspective, that's a terrible model. After a while, your code gets really complicated, and you say, if you're in version 3.2.1 and not, you know, in version 2.6.8, then go do this, otherwise do that, and the logic just gets really important. But that seems to be what people are doing. So there's a separate problem of how do you avoid that. So one option of distribution is geographic. Another option of distribution is sort of spread across some things, both for the clients and the servers. You ought to put the canaries out and deploy them without turning anything on for a while. Let them run. And let them run in the new version without getting any requests for the new features. And this is a guess. Why? Because there might be a problem with the backward compatibility. And you want to find that out before you start exercising the new features. So this just makes sense to me if you do that. And so, first question is, how are things routed? And there are probably, these are three options that I can think of. There might be others. Second question is, how do you decide that things have been sufficiently tested? And if I find my testing person, I'm going to say to him or her, okay, give me the metric that tells me when things are tested, and they'll tell me it's coverage. That's what testing people say. And I'll say, I don't really want to instrument to that depth. I mean, I could, because don't you have some other thing? And they'll say yes or no. I don't know. I did perform stress testing. So I gave this kind of talk at a performance conference. I'm going to have to go. And somebody says, we have something called the performance non-scalability likelihood that we developed when I worked at Bell Labs. And it gives you, it looks at the operational profile, decides if your operational profile has been matched, and gives you the ability to come up with a probability. So I started looking at that, and I'm sort of talking to him and to the Google Drive. But in the meantime, I've been traveling, so I haven't had really time to do much besides get on the plane. So, in summary, that's what I think I know. It's different than most other talks. You know, this is what I know. You know, why are you questioning me? My talk is, this is what I think I know. Tell me if I'm wrong, or tell me things I haven't thought of. There are multiple different strategies, but the key high level question is, if you're going to put canaries out there, how many do you put? And how do you know that you've done a good job? Okay, so that was pretty short.
Questions?
Thank you. You know any answers?
What one testing technique is you look at the number of lines of code change, you look at other previous attempts to change the same number of lines, you have this curve of the number of errors you're going to find. You expect your test to follow that curve, find that many errors. When you've done that,
Okay, so
your
message
is okay.
You don't put something, there's a step I left out, which is that you test it in the lab first.
Yeah.
And you may find that curve.
Yeah.
But once you put it out in the canary land, are you going to find the same curve?
Well, there'll probably be a different curve for canary land. So the first few times you try this, you will have a you'll be developing these types of curves.
So then the question is, what's the curve look like if this is it's already gone through my normal testing process? And what do the curves look like when I put it out in the canary land?
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I mean,
instrument, and you'll after a few.
Well,
if you try, you'll get a new set of curves, which
yeah.
may look different.
Yeah, and the question is, are these curves going to be the same across organizations, or does each organization need to do it? And So that's a good answer. Other comments or questions?
So I guess one thing that's implicit, maybe just explicit in all this, is that you can have canaries, that you can only update a subset of what's running.
You've updated everything. So everything is updated. Everything is software searchable.
Okay.
Now the question is, how many do you switch on?
Right. But then you can have some switched on. I guess at the scale you're thinking of, that's just inevitable. There's no way that you can update the entire system at once.
Well, you can update the entire system at once. But the question is, and you can switch them all on at once.
What if you have to? What if you're doing you're updating your database schema in a way that if you're running old versions, you're gonna start corrupting the database because you can't.
Then you do that. So the scenario is that you have the ability to, you're adding new functionality, you haven't changed the database schema, or maybe you've added new columns. I mean, just like everything has to be backward compatible, the database schema never changes, et cetera. But you're adding new fields.
Two comments. One is that you indicated that canaries are used in a staging manner, so it's kind of like a commitment. One is that it's out there for compatibility assessment, and then there's a new functionality assessment. You might be doing A-B testing.
A-B testing is a little bit different. Testing, you assume both.
Well, so, I mean, one of the ways that I understand from some people that they're judging the health of the canary.
Yes.
They deploy something new that's maybe not quite the canary, but is a similar thing on B, and they're watching how it's holding up, maybe an alternate solution to a problem for performance or something.
Okay.
And they're letting them compete, and they're evaluating that with the monitoring. And then I've also heard that they, besides using geography, that they'll stage this by users, and so they'll have people who are beta or early adopters who have patterns of trying out new toys and stuff more than others, and to watch the behavior there. And finally, it might be two-stage commit, that like the beta people did a great job, so now they let the whole region of North America see it, but not the rest of the world yet, and then watch how the canary does there.
So none of these things are user-facing. Okay, so the user comes in up here, gets filtered through a hierarchy. So I guess the top level is user facing, but the rest of these you have internal clients. And so the notion of choosing your clients by people that like to play with toys is really not appropriate for this environment. The other thing is I talked to somebody from Google who was dealing with the Google file system, and he says, yeah, we stage it. We put it out to 1,000, we wait for a week, then we put it out to 10,000, we wait for another week. We put it out to 100,000, we wait for another week, and then we put it out to the whole fleet. And if I don't get a call in any of these periods, which kind of surprised me that this was a text message, a personal contact, then I assume it's okay. So that was kind of a weird, everything is automated in this world, except some things are not. So yeah, I mean, those are, so looking at A-B testing is there are certain forms of A-B testing. Another place to look.
One thing we keep around, which is internal, not external facing, is leaky fiber optic cables.
So
put one of those in your system and see if if the thing dies.
So that goes back to the Netflix. You know, they have things called Chaos Monkey that runs around and kills processes. Do some of that, see what happens. Yeah, that's a thought.
Okay, I'm trying to let other people ask questions.
They don't seem to want to, so keep going.
This is a separate way of looking at what you're saying. That is, maybe your concern is also kind of a anthropological. You're pulling it forward from the shrink wrap world. When you were selling software that people bought off the shelf, brought home, and installed, you were really concerned if you didn't qualify it well, because it's a heavy transaction to get that same person to go get a new version and update their machine all over again because you made a mistake. But this might be happening 6 or 7 times a day or something, and one reason you have a casual attitude from people, they say, well, if the canary doesn't work, let's just put out the new canary. You know, it's going to happen so fast, I'm not worried about it.
As long as the canary fails hard, you're perfectly happy because this whole scheme is built for failure, right? So if a canary fails hard, then your normal failure recovery mechanisms will kick in, and that's not such a problem. The problem becomes when the canary fails softly and sends back erroneous results. And if the erroneous results get back up to the user level, then even in today's world, you're not happy.
That's what drives the instrumentation to a large extent.
Yeah. So anyway, this is hopefully I convinced you the canaries in fact are interesting, that we have modern equivalents of coal mines.